Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Michael Kist, host of the Kist and Solak show. He worked with the Scouting Academy and is the 2018 winner of the Midday 180 Draft Analyst Competition. He holds that in such high regard. He has that in his Twitter bio, which we appreciate. Michael Kist joins us. Michael, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. Today is, in fact, my Friday, so I'm doing great. Go Preds. Hope they tie it up tomorrow. Hope y'all are having a great day.
Yes, absolutely. Appreciate it. So let's just get started. Who is, for you, the absolute lock, the 10-time Pro Bowler in this draft, the best prospect available? Who would you go with?
Yeah, over the last 2 years, I've had the numerical grading formula that I have now. Quinnen Williams is number one on my board, just above Quentin Nelson, who is a fantastic prospect. Another guy that I would have taken anywhere in the draft. Quinnen Williams, man. He just does everything at a special level. You try to watch Alabama film, and you have to revisit Alabama film a lot throughout the process because they play a lot of prospects and they have a lot of prospects. But every time, Quinnen Williams is just taking over the game and dominating the middle of your screen and just beating up on guys. And there are very good offensive linemen out there that I have graded highly, like Elton Jenkins from, you know, and Eric McCoy from Texas A&M. And I don't hold it against them. Then Quinnen Williams whoops their butt. So if I had to bet the farm on anybody, I'll go with Quinnen Williams from Alabama.
So you have him rated above where you had Quentin Nelson last year.
That's correct. Yeah. And that's in my elite tier. Very few people get into that tier for me. I mean, Quentin Nelson is a fantastic guard, so, and I don't put positional value into that or anything like that, but I've never seen anybody in recent history dominate the way that Quinnen Williams dominates the interior of defenses, of offensive lines, and then also has the pass rush upside that he has with the full toolbox of moves and timing and violent hands, and you know, he's a dogged in pursuit, so I think he's a guy, I hate to say can't miss,
yeah,
because the nobody's bust proof, but I'm putting my money on him.
Where's Bosa on that list, on that chart?
He's under him. He's right under Quentin Nelson. So he would be my third best prospect in the last 2 years. I mean, you're talking about a really polished guy, NFL bloodlines, knows how to turn a corner. He's not the like most natural bender as a pass rusher, but he knows how to soften a corner and make his arc and path to the quarterback much easier on himself. He does that with his hands. He's really good with his steps and timing everything, and you know, knowing when the punch is coming and how to counter off that and how to get around that corner. He's going to be great against the run. He's just an overall very good player. He didn't test to the roof and nobody cared because he's just that good and technical as a football player.
Michael Kist with us on the Midday 180.
Where would Josh Rosen rate in this class of quarterbacks in your eyes?
Yeah, he had a up and down season, can we call it, in Arizona, but I'm still putting him as my quarterback one in this class above Kyler Murray, who is the only guy that I feel comfortable taking in the first round out of all the quarterbacks. Kyler Murray is the only one I have with a first round grade that I feel comfortable taking high. And it's interesting because that dynamic with Arizona possibly taking or probably taking Kyler Murray and then possibly shipping out Josh Rosen to somebody else. You know, you look at the Redskins and teams like that, maybe the Broncos. But yeah, Josh Rosen was just super smart, and I felt more comfortable with the mental part of his game, the accuracy and everything like that. The situation in Arizona was just awful for him, and he still flashed some good games, and the box score might not show that, but if you watch the film of him, I was still impressed with what he's shown. And we should know from recent history not to judge quarterbacks off, number one, terrible situations, but number two, especially off the rookie year. We saw with Carson Wentz, we saw with Jared Goff. Those are two doggone good quarterbacks, and I think that Josh Rosen has that ability in him.
Somebody gets him in a trade for the price isn't going to be what Arizona wants for him. just because they're going to be in a forced trade situation. It seems like you get 3 years of rookie contract with no bonus, and for conceivably a second or third round draft pick, even you're golden. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the price right now is a second rounder. If Arizona wants to do it, that'd be a really hard pill to swallow for them. With the change with Cliff coming in, it might be something that they're forced to do. But if they can kind of drum up a bidding war for him, then you're talking about maybe Washington that holds a pick in the teams. You're talking about the New York Giants who have the 17th overall selection. I think that's the best case scenario for them. I don't know if they can get the price that high unless they throw in a pick on their own. But yeah, it's really weird, man. And I think he's worth that 17th overall pick for the Giants to bring him in and start to do something about that quarterback position that they've neglected with Eli aging and everything, picking Saquon Barkley in the first round. But yeah, it looks like second round, man. That's tough, really tough for me.
Let's discuss a couple of players, Michael, who I know after further film evaluation, maybe you've changed the tune on a bit. And let's start at offensive tackle. Andre Dillard from Washington State. When you first started evaluating him, what did you think? And what do you think now, 2 weeks from the draft?
Yeah, the Washington State offense, that air raid Mike Leach offense, is very hard to kind of evaluate tackles because they're doing a ton of just vertical sets. There's not a lot of variety in their pass sets, so it's hard to kind of project those out. Like, can they do it, or were they asked to do it? That's the big question that you have with Dillard. But as you watch more of his game, and it took me some time to realize this, I watched more games on him than any other offensive tackle in this class other than watching Jonah Williams just dominate for the past 3 years. The more I watched him, the more I started to see just the nuances of the game with his hands, for instance. So he might be taking a lot of the same steps, but you see him vary things up. He'll throw a fake punch, get a defender to shoot their hands, and then he'll swat him away, and now he has all the advantage. He mixed up his sets a little bit more, which they typically don't do at Washington State. And then you watch him move at the combine, and you're like, this dude is just smooth. He's flexible throughout his entire body. It looks like he's going to be able to anchor really well. I still wish he was a better run blocker on tape. That wasn't really a big focus for Washington State in that offense. So he's a projection there, and he's still a projection overall. But the more I watched him, the more I felt comfortable that he could learn new concepts and apply them effectively. That combined, you know, with what we saw from the on-field drills at the NFL Combine, he moved up for me considerably. He's in my top 20 now. The NFL is probably going to be a little bit higher on him. That's fine. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that has really moved up my board. The more that I've watched, the more I appreciated his game.
And maybe the opposite for N'Keal Harry, the wide receiver from Arizona State, where it's not hard to find highlight reels of him. He puts on a show when the ball is directed his way. He's a five-star recruit out of high school, a number one receiver for the conference there for Arizona State. But, again, it's not hard to find a highlight reel for him. So as you evaluate game to game, what makes you change your stance on him a bit? I'm sure you still like him, maybe not as much.
Yeah, he was a guy that I might have put at the beginning of the second round grading, and I only have about 18 first round grades. That's a pretty high grade. It would have been around the top 20 because, yeah, you're right. You get the ball in his hands, and his yak ability, yards after catch, is absolutely amazing. Like, he is really hard to bring down the open field. I'm surprised by that for a 6'2 and 3/8, 228 pounder, that his biggest strength is his ability after the catch. But the problem is, the more that you dig into his tape, you realize this really big dude doesn't play like a really big dude. Like, he's okay on 50-50 balls and everything like that, but he's not polished in his routes, and he's not physical throughout his routes, and he's not very good against press. So what is all that 228 pounds doing out there? Because he's not able to separate with quickness, so he's got to win with some physicality. And he tested well, but he put up 27 reps on the bench press. But why don't we see that with his hands throughout the route stem in the contact window within that first 5 yards when he's getting pressed? He's too comfortable just allowing contact to bump him off of his landmark and mess with the timing of his routes. And look, coming into this year, there were whispers inside that program getting out that were saying, don't draft N'Keal. He's going to bust because of his work ethic, and there were some questions about his character. Now, Herm Edwards came to that program, and from what we understand and what I'm hearing, he has kind of turned that around. His work ethic was a lot better, his practice habits, all of that stuff, that's great. But what happens when he gets to the NFL, now he's a millionaire, you know, does that drop back off? There's that potential there. So I'm worried about the character. I'm worried about the lack of development as a overall wide receiver, as a route runner. And I'm worried that we're never going to see what N'Keal Harry could actually be because, man, that mold of clay is very enticing.
I want to ask you about two guys. I know where you had them early on, and it doesn't line up with a general consensus, which always I'm always curious to ask about an analyst about that, and I don't know how much they've moved for you. You had Montez Sweat in the 40s early on. You had Chris Lindstrom in the high teens early on. Where have those guys settled for you now, later in the process?
Yeah, Sweat was another big riser, and he was one I considered to put as a guy that would be moving up my board. He moved up to 24th overall. I still have him behind Cleveland Farrell, the edge from Clemson. But the more I watch him, you know, the more I realize how well he understands space and creates space for himself on the edge. I still don't think he's the bender that he tested like, so that concern still holds true. And I don't think he's the top 10 guy that people are making him out to be. But I do think that this is going to be a reliably productive player that can get up to the quarterback and be pretty solid against the run using that length, because he knows how to use it. Now, if he can get some more counters in there with that length, now we're cooking with some gas. But yeah, I feel like he's going to be a productive player. And for the edge position, I really value that. And with this testing, I think that you can unlock more out of him. So he was a player that I was pretty cold on before, and I'm starting to warm up to him. And then when it comes to Chris Lindstrom, I mean, I still have him ranked pretty highly. I have him still in the teens. He's my 16th overall player from Boston College.
Behind Bradbury?
Still behind Bradbury. Bradbury is now my 10th rated player, yeah. But, you know, I want Bradbury as a center. I want Lindstrom as a guard. They're both fantastic in zone schemes. And Lindstrom, man, he's just... coaches are going to love him, and I'll frame this under the interest that I heard he's getting in the division for you guys with the Indianapolis Colts, because Howard Mudd is now been added to that coaching staff. Howard Mudd, longtime offensive line coach who I love. Howard Mudd loves smart, hard-nosed offensive linemen. You won't find many smarter, harder-nosed offensive linemen than Chris Lindstrom. I think he can move. I think he's a mauler. He's a really good player. He's going to play for a long time and probably be an underappreciated player that plays really well.
Michael, give us an update on what you're up to, where we can find your work, the podcast, all of it.
BleedingGreenNation.com is where you can find a lot of my draft work. On Twitter, at @BGN_radio. I'm at Michael Kist NFL. That's KIST. I'm releasing some video big boards of all these prospects, and then I'll have my full top 50 released probably around Monday or Tuesday. So I got that in the works right now.
And now you know why he won the competition after that segment last year. Michael, always good to catch up with you, man. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. Go, Fred.